Ah, it's so good to be in the house of God this morning. It's so good to be with the people of God. See, I'm stronger with you than I am without you. Now, don't get me wrong. If everybody left me, God would still be with me. But I know you well enough to know that ain't going to be the case. I'm so thankful that we have brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that will hold up our arms, hold up our hands, no matter where we are, no matter what we go through. And one will put 1,000 to flight. I can take on 1,000. But 2 will put 10. So I'm so thankful for the supply you bring this morning. But as a body, we need to change this morning. And I'm supposed to end in 5 minutes. Oh, shit. you need me to change. You need me to change. God gives us a chance to change this morning. I will not get through with my sermon this morning, but last week we talked about the thorns. We talked about the word being planted. Can I tell you something? The devil hates the word. He doesn't hate your emotion. He doesn't hate one tear. He doesn't hate one time that you stand up and proclaim anything if it's not the word. Do you know, I think of Sanford and Son. Anybody else watch that show? All right, I like those hands. Those are good shows. One I always loved. What was his wife's name who he was going to see? Elizabeth. I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming. Anytime his son, what was his son's name? Help me. Lamont. Oh, I love, that's a good name. Good name. Lamont. Anytime Lamont messed with him, I'm coming to see you, he'd fake a heart attack. This is the big one. I'm coming to see you. Tried to get sympathy. And can I tell you something? You can stand up and give fantastic religious speeches. You can stand up and be moved by emotion. You can be moved by a situation. And you can say anything you want. And the devil's okay with that. What he's not okay with, if you start to take this and you begin to live it, if you begin to be hearers and doers of the word, if you begin to change your life where you say, I will tell you, I love my emotions. I enjoy experiencing them, even to a degree, sometimes sadness. I know that sounds so weird. It does to me. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make sense to me. But there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand a lot of things. Love is one of them to the degree. I don't understand how I could be upset. Let's use my kids. I use my wife enough, right? So I could be upset with my kids for some stupid decision they make. I can't say that about my wife. She never makes any of those. But with my kids making stupid decisions or deliberately going against what I said or tell them to do something and then they do the very opposite while I'm looking at them like they're taunting me to do something. And I'm like, what do you think? And then, you know, some of them, they're like, they'll tell me that they're stronger than me, bigger than me. They'll be like, I'll take you, Daddy. I'm like, why don't you try it, little girl? Why don't you try it? Let's see what you got. And then I will hold, this is what's beautiful. I have held one of them down. I'm like, who's stronger? Who's stronger now? And she goes, you're only doing this because I'm letting you. I'm like, girl, you are bold. You are bold, little girl. Oh. And sometimes I tickle her until she says that I'm stronger. And then she'll take it back immediately when I'm done. But I have been upset with them for making the wrong decision. But do you know what? If it's raining, there's nothing in me that says, you walk out in the rain, I'll hold the umbrella over myself. I still want to do good for them. I still want to bless them. I still want to love them. I still want to take care of them. Why? Because to me, love doesn't make sense. Naturally, it doesn't make sense. But the love of God, you can be upset with somebody, not happy with what they've done, and still want the blessing of God in their life. Isn't that amazing? Oh. Whew. So I need you to change. I need you to die. I need you to die to self and wake up to the plan of God. Because can I tell you something? I wish I could tell you that everything's going to be easy when you give your life to Jesus. It's just you're going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. You was on first, but now you're on three. I mean, you're just going to go home. You're going to do everything you need to do. Everything will be easy. God's on your side. He will provide. And those things are true, but what we've done is we've set people up for failure, because when things don't turn out like what they thought, what they saw the hand of God doing, what they imagined God doing to deliver them, when it comes a different way, all of a sudden they lose heart because a friend left them, a spouse left them, a job was gone, something crushing happened in their life. And all of a sudden they curse God. Because how could you let this happen? I'll tell you something. He went to the cross. He's proven that he loves you. He's proven that he's for you. He's proven that he's not against you. Any other circumstances does not matter. It doesn't matter. So what the enemy is more afraid of anything? Why does he come to steal the word? I remember when I was at Bible school, I called my pastor up. And I said, "Pastor, I need some help." And he said, "What do you need help with?" I said, "You know, when I was back home, when I was back there, I knew what the devil looked like. I knew what he acted like. I knew how he talked. I knew how he walked. I could spot him from a mile away. I knew the tricks of the enemy. I knew how he would approach." I said, "But the problem is here, he wears a suit and tie, and he speaks more scripture than I can. He's got it more memorized than I do." And my pastor laughed at me. He said, "Son, get used to it." He said Jesus faced most of his enemies were not those who were ignorant to the word of God. His biggest enemies were those who knew it but did not live it. We are not hearers of the word only. But why does the enemy come in to steal the word? The parable says he comes in just as soon as the word is planted. He swoops in immediately, not tomorrow, not the next day, not in 5 years. He swoops down immediately to steal the word. Why does he try to steal the word? Because he doesn't want it planted in your heart and producing what it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to go in your heart so you can feel like you're smart. It doesn't plant it on the inside of your heart so that you can debate theological questions with everybody else, so that you can stand up in Sunday school and give a good point. You would be amazed at how many people feel good that someone acknowledges the word of God that they can quote and say out loud, or theological ideas. God is not impressed with our ability to have theological ideas on the inside of us. How do we impress the Lord? It is living what he said, doing what he said, applying the words of God to our life. The enemy could care less whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you have a large family or a small family. He doesn't care what you drive or if you go on vacation. He doesn't care if you're married or not. He doesn't care if you're following the law or you're far from the law. What he cares about, are you living the word? Are you applying it to your life? Are you executing it? Are you living it? Are you doers of the word? When we become doers of the word, that is when we are a threat to his kingdom. What is the biggest key to doing the word? Doing it in love. Not for self-promotion. Not for how it looks. Not for getting a pat on the back. I think the problem is a lot of times we find our identity in so many things. We find our identity in the pain and suffering. We find identity in things. And we can even find our identity of who we are in religion. We find self-worth in what we know and we attend every Sunday. These are all good things, but not done in love. You're doing the right thing for the wrong reason. We have got to know our why behind our what. We can't continue to be a group of people, to be the body that has other interests besides love and love for His kingdom. What does the Bible tell us? If we are a church that are in it for ourselves without love, we're just a noisy symbol. Actually, we're an annoying, noisy symbol. And no one wants to hear us. No one wants to hear us. I don't even think God wants to hear us when we're in it for ourselves. I'll tell you, I know. You want to know? Because it says when we pray and amiss, when we desire things for the wrong reasons, He does not hear us. And we do not have the answer of what we prayed for. Father, this morning, we open our hearts to You. If there is anything in us that is displeasing to You, our motives, God, we check our motives. We examine our own heart. We look inward. We look why we do what we do. And God, we just want to know You. Help us to know You. To spend time with You. To fellowship with You. May we get in Your Word not so that we can quote it, not so that we have something to talk about, not so we can just obtain things or finances or even just to live a better life. We thank You that those are byproducts of Your promises. But God, we want to know You. We want our lives to look more like Jesus. And help us to go for the lost so that they may look like Christ, so that they may live lives that You've called them to live. Everyone in this room right now, just ask God to look in your heart and to bring anything to the surface that you need to change, anything that you need to work on, anything that you need to do. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to move on our life right now and begin to bring things up to our attention. We thank You, Father. There was someone who just felt a little bit of condemnation right at that moment. And I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is trying to tell you that you are loved. And God does not condemn you. And that yes, on your own, it may seem like an impossible task. But the beauty is, you are not doing this on your own. Help us to stand, Father, when everyone else falls. Help us not to be governed by our emotion, but that we may stand in the Word. And that the Word would produce fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Help us to increase. Help us to never stop. Help us to be enthusiastic. Help us to chase after You. May we not be as the church in Revelation that left its first love. May we embrace You. Embrace Your will. Embrace Your call. For some of us that are enduring hard things at this moment, I thank You that You will make a way of escape from the heat, from the pressure, that we may bear it. That we may go to the other side. That we may accomplish everything you've called us to. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody says, amen.